good morning, Jay. Wish we had a better topic to talk about, but this is important. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we wanted to get into it a little bit deeper. Anna, back to you. We appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to spend with Brad the other day just to give us an overview. But let's take us through this in kind of like a chronological order, and how and when and how do you even find out that the deer had CWD? Take us back to the very start, if you would.
Sure. Well, for the last couple of years, we've been doing a thorough sweep of CWD surveillance through portions of the northern half of the state, essentially. So we've known we've had CWD in the southern third of the state, and especially in the southwest, going on 20 years now. And it's been quite a while since we've been made a specific effort to sample a high number of deer in other parts of the state. We've had voluntary, what we call hunter service testing, that hunters that just want to find out for their own information if a deer might be positive or not. So we've had deer coming in at a scale for quite some time, but we've made a specific effort. 2 years ago, it was in the western part of the state. Last year, it was in the north. And then this year, it was in the northeast part of the state. So we had a goal of getting at least 300 deer sampled. But again, in the background, we also, whenever we become aware of a positive deer, whether that be in the wild or in a captive deer farming facility, we also create kind of a surveillance circle around that location. And because, unfortunately, we have had some positives in some captive facilities in that area, we'd already had a kind of a surveillance circle around there. So the awareness, heightened awareness, I would say, has been there for a couple of years. And it just happened this year during the regular gun season. Someone did harvest a deer, and through the sampling, took it in, used our self-service kiosks that we'd set up, and indeed this one turned out to be positive.
Are there, other than testing, are there any physical visible signs that shows a deer might have CWD?
So the term of the disease, chronic wasting disease, is very accurate in that it's a neurological condition, and it does cause essentially just the wasting away of the deer. So as the disease progresses in the nervous system, the animal just starts to atrophy. In other words, loses body mass, muscle mass. But this takes quite a while. And so once the deer becomes infected, it can take a year and a half to 2 years before the animal becomes physically or clinically, sick looking. So most of the deer that we do end up testing, and even when they do come back positive, most times a deer does not look abnormal. In this case, the hunter did report in his finding as he filled out the form that the deer looked unusually skinny. So that is kind of a red flag.
Jeff Pritzel, the DNR Northeast District Wildlife Supervisor, joining us after CWD was detected in Shawnee County. Now, this question and the next two questions I have kind of go, I think, hand in hand here, and I think you'll understand what I mean. Talk about how the disease is spread and why there is going to be a ban on baiting and feeding. Talk about how those go hand in hand.
Sure. Okay, thanks. So there's a number of ways that the disease can spread. It's an infectious agent that can be introduced to an animal, and that can happen in a number of ways. The prion as a protein can exist in the environment, outside of a deer for a considerable amount of time. So a deer can become exposed to the agent, the prion, in the environment by feeding, by drinking, quite commonly, the main concern is contact between the animals directly, is the exchange of saliva, or mucus and nose-to-nose contact, that type of thing. So there's a number of things we can take action on to try to minimize that spread, and one of them is minimizing the concentration of the animals, where a positive animal could come into a location, shed the disease agent, and then other animals could pick it up. So, of course, it can happen randomly in the environment, but when you have the opportunity to minimize a concentration point, like a baiting or a feeding station, that just seems like an obvious or a responsible approach to take. And so we've had a ban in Shawano County already in existence, so this hasn't changed anything. But a number of years back, the state legislature changed the parameters by which a county is in a baiting and feeding ban. And it's not a permanent ban. It's a three-year ban from the time a positive animal, you know, is located. So this just set the clock back over again. So we're under a new three-year period for a ban in the county.